listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Scan the QR code to visit our website at aulc.us and find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe.
The following presentation is from a new series from Dr. Rob White called Blast from the Past. In this series, Dr. Rob will feature past sermons that were recorded live. We hope you enjoy this new series.
We were at a Christian Motorcyclist Association event a week or so ago. And my sermon today is going to be on working on the Sabbath and how it can be a blessing. And back in Jesus' time, working on the Sabbath could have meant anything from just pushing a button to actually doing physical work. Their Sabbath started at Friday night at 6 p.m. and went till Saturday night at 6 p.m. And I got to thinking about this while I was doing my sermon up, and that even singing the Jews considered work. Can you imagine that? Something so simple and so easy that's work. So I was involved in a talent show while we were there. I was the last person to perform out of eight people. And we had some good people ahead of me. And my comment to the group was there's no pressure here. There must have been probably 100 people in this auditorium where we were at. And I mean, I've sang in front of people before and all, but there was some good talent ahead of me. And so I thought what I would do, I hadn't planned on it, but what I would do is I'd share that song with you right now. The first day of kindergarten, the big yellow bus arrived, and Johnny hugged his daddy before he climbed inside. Dad knew he had to tell him, it's gonna be okay. Then he said some words to help him through the day. You'll be fine. I will see you soon. You are mine. I'm so proud of you. You'll do great. Go on. Be brave and strong. I'll be waiting for you to get home. Down the road, John joined the army. The big jet had just arrived. Now they're standing at the airport, dreading that goodbye. Dad knew he had to tell him words he heard before. This time, it would take him through a war. You'll be fine. I will see you soon. You are mine. I'm so proud of you. You'll do great. Go on. Be brave and strong. I'll be waiting for you to get home. Thank you. months of fighting cancer, his final day arrived, and Johnny was called in to try to say goodbye. His dad could barely whisper, but he just had to speak. Son, remember this before I leave. You'll be fine. I will see you soon. You are mine. I'm so proud of you. You'll do great. Go on. Be brave and strong. I'll be waiting for you to get home. I'll be waiting for you to get home. Yeah, it's work. You know, practicing and learning and all, but not the kind of work that the Jews were talking about. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that what we're going to hear today is something that's relevant to us, even though these words were written more than 2,000 years ago. They were written for a people that would understand more, but we understand them today because you've explained it to us. And we just ask, Lord, that you open our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts to what your words have to say today. And just let those who have ears hear. Let those that need to hear this hear it, Lord. And we just ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 all the way through chapter 3, verses 6. On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to his companions. He then told them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" And then starting at chapter 3, verse 1, "Now he entered the synagogue again, and a man who was there had a paralyzed hand. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. He told the man with the paralyzed hand, 'Stand before us.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do what is good or to do what is evil, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. After looking around them with anger and sorrow and the hardness of their hearts, he told the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, in the time of Christ, the Sabbath, like I said, from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday, that was a time you could do no work. Even healing, teaching, feeding your dog, that was all against the law. You had to prepare your meals in advance. You could eat. That wasn't considered work because you had to eat. But it didn't matter if your animals went without water or food. You couldn't feed them or water them. They couldn't take care of them. If someone was sick, you couldn't take care of them. You couldn't take them to a doctor and if their arm got broke or whatever, because that's against the law. And the Pharisees here was watching Jesus very closely because he was doing a lot of things on the Sabbath that was not considered lawful. He was considered against the law. This past spring, in a large city around the United States, a mother duck had built her nest and laid 10 eggs in the nest. The problem was that she built it on a wide cement ledge on an office building 10 feet off the ground. You know, 10 feet, you know, that's higher than that. Office workers could look down out of their windows and they could see that the eggs had hatched. They wondered how the mother duck would get the babies down from the ledge so they could go to the nearest river or body of water, which was 3 blocks away. Ducks have to have water within 2 days after they're hatched. I don't know, some kind of law of nature. Now, while these office workers, they watched, the mother duck would fly down to the sidewalk, and she would start quacking. First, one little duck wobbled off the edge and jumped off. It didn't know how to fly yet, so it crashed to the sidewalk. Now, it wasn't seriously hurt, but it was quite stunned. If I fell from 10 feet, I'd be quite stunned too. It couldn't get up right away. One of the office workers saw what was happening, knew that something had to be done, so he raced downstairs and to the sidewalk just as the second baby jumped off, and he caught the baby duck in his hands and carried it over to the mother. And then the other 8 ducks, one at a time, started jumping off, and he kept catching them and taking them over. And then he went and got a cardboard box, and he loaded all the little ducks inside the box and carried them down the sidewalk. He carried them through traffic and across to the river, and the mother duck was following close behind. Now, this was quite a story because this man was a duck hero. He carried these little ducks. He saved them. It didn't matter what day of the week it was. He would have done that no matter what, because human instinct is to help those who are weaker than us. And he did that. This man had compassion for the ducks. He wanted to help. Jesus teaches us to be compassionate, to care about others. When the Pharisees, who paid great attention to the laws of the day, criticized others for doing good works, like healing and like that, or doing work at all on the Sabbath, Jesus said to them, when a man came to him with a withered arm and was healed, he says, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? And they couldn't answer him. They didn't have a good answer because in their eyes, it was unlawful to do anything on the Sabbath. Jesus had compassion for this man and healed him. He didn't touch him. He didn't go and do any x-rays or anything. He just says, stretch out your hand. Spoke to him and he healed him. But still the Pharisees seen this and they're going, no, you're healing on the Sabbath. It was on the Sabbath, but he did it. Jesus did it because it was the right thing to do. Now, how many of you have heard about the odd laws that we have on our books today? Laws from like back in the 1800s and like that are still on the books today, but they're stupid laws. For example, Alabama law prohibits drivers being blindfolded while operating a vehicle. Okay, now that kind of makes sense. In Juneau, Alaska, owners of flamingos may not let their pets into barbershops. Okay. In Prescott, Arizona, no one is permitted to ride their horse up the stairs of a county courthouse.
Okay, where did you get these at?
There's actually a website called dumblaws.com. Now, Indiana, I found this interesting, is not immune to these stupid laws. In Indiana, waitresses may not carry drinks into a restaurant or a bar. Wow. Hotel sheets must be exactly 99 inches long and 81 inches wide. If a person has a puppet show, wire dancing, or tumbling act in the state of Indiana and receives money for it, they'll be fined $3 under the act to prevent certain immoral practices. How about that? Of course, I like this one. Anyone 14 or older who profanely curses, damns, or swears by the name of God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost shall be fined $3 for each offense with a maximum fine of $10 per day. Now that's quite a swear jar. There's a $3 fine per pack that is imposed to anyone playing cards in Indiana under the Act for Prevention of Gaming. Or how about this one? One may not sniff glue. That's an actual law on our books. You can't sniff glue. A man may not back into a parking spot because it prevents police officers from seeing the license plate. I go against that one all the time. I work for the state of Indiana, and we always back our vehicles in so that we can pull out in case of an emergency. We're always ready. State government officials who engage in private duels can be dismissed from their post. I think if you're on the losing end of that duel, it doesn't matter. A person may get a referral from a licensed physician if he wishes to see a hypnotist, unless the desired procedure is to quit smoking or lose weight. Wow. Smoking in the state legislature building is banned except when the legislature is in session. All males 18 to 50 years old must work 6 days a year on public roads. And probably the most important one, baths may not be taken between the months of October and March.
Wrong.
Okay. Pedestrians crossing the highway at night are prohibited from wearing taillights. Okay. Now, there's odd laws. They have their roots in something that probably took place a long time ago. It was once said that if it hadn't been done, there wouldn't be a law. Laws are still on the books today, like these laws here, because they've never been removed, because someone did it one time and they made a law against it. Like Prescott's law against riding your horse up the steps of a county courthouse. I suspect that in the past, someone actually did that. The city fathers looked at it and said, we need a law. And so they created a law. Now, once the law's on the books, it tends to stay there. I read somewhere we get something like 2,000 new laws a year added to our law books. It's no wonder lawyers get paid so much. They have to always keep up on these laws. Now, of course, it makes sense, you know, not to have a horse on the county courthouse steps because it might fall, you know, and might step on somebody. It might prevent people from getting into the courthouse. And of course, a horse will produce 20 pounds of manure daily and a gallon of urine. I don't know if I'd want to have to step through that just to get to the courthouse. I think I'd find another day to come. A law prohibiting riding your horse, that makes sense. But in our gospel lesson today, we find a law which we're all familiar with, but which no one hardly today holds true to it. It's the law prohibiting work on the Sabbath. One of the Ten Commandments says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to Yahweh your God. You shall not do any work on it, you nor your son nor your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days God made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them and rested on the seventh. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That's Exodus 20, 8-11, if you want to look that up. Now if I was to ask for a show of hands that who keeps the Sabbath law today, I wouldn't expect to see many hands. Just for the simple fact, our Sabbath is on Sunday. We don't practice the Sabbath on Saturday. I do know some practicing Jews that do practice that on Saturday. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, but you know, that's kind of one of my only days off. I got to work. But, you know, there's things to do around home. My honey-do list, you know. But the fact is, very few Christians today observe the Sabbath. For the most part, we feel that we don't need to, because Sunday is like any other day. Sometimes people have to work on Sunday. they have to work in a hospital, or they've got to work in an auto parts store or what have you, they've got to work. On our way here, most every Sunday morning, we pass Advance Auto Parts over here on South Boulevard, and we see someone going in and turning the lights on. There's some poor soul, or maybe two or three, working on Sunday morning. They can't go to church. But we do what we have to do. We do what we're required to do. And whether that's on weekdays or weekends. But like most laws, the Sabbath law makes good sense when you think about it. It makes sense in two ways. For one thing, Exodus says that God created the law to prohibit work on the Sabbath in order to honor God taking a rest on the seventh day. Therefore, God called the Israelites to honor God by keeping the Sabbath holy and by resting on the seventh day. Now, there's something else you can do too. I mean, as Christians today, you're all here this morning and you're at church. You're keeping our Sabbath holy because you're doing what God wants you to do. You're resting, and you're also praising and worshiping and honoring God at the same time. Now, He doesn't expect us to stay in church all day long. I know there are some churches that do that, but you're coming to church. When you're done, He says the rest of the day is yours. You can do what you need to do, whether that's go have a barbecue or visit friends or just go home and take a nap. That sounds like a good thing to me sometimes. But there's another reason as well. Even though Christians are no longer subject to the Old Testament laws, we still want to honor God. But we also still need rest. That's the bottom line. In times past, when people observed the Sabbath, they'd spend the day at home with their families. They could read or play games, and hopefully someone in the family might be a little musically inclined, and they would gather around a piano or something and sing songs. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds like a good way to spend a day. But we've lost something by ignoring the Sabbath law. And of course, people couldn't refuse to do all work on the Sabbath, especially in a rural community. Cows needed milking on the Sabbath, just like every other day, and a sheep was required to have a shepherd on the Sabbath. And Jesus noted that people were allowed to rescue sheep when they fell into a ditch on the Sabbath in Matthew 12:11. The same would be true if a child or an ox fell into a well on the Sabbath. In Luke 14:5, we see Jesus talking about that. In our gospel lesson, Jesus bumps up against his enemies, the Pharisees, and two counts of violating the Sabbath law, just boom, boom. On the first count, Jesus' disciples decided they would pluck some grain to eat right out of a neighbor's field. They plucked the grain, from somebody else's field. It sounds a little bit like they was stealing the grain, but Torah law in Deuteronomy 23:25 specifically allowed for it. As long as you didn't use some kind of implement. If you used your hands to pick the grain, you're all right. But if you use like a sickle or a mower or something like that, something to do it for you, no, that was against the law. You couldn't do it. The Pharisees held Jesus responsible for his actions. Of his disciples says, look, why are your disciples doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus reminded them of the story that they would have been very familiar with at the time. To understand the impact of the story, you got to understand that King David was not only Israel's greatest king, but David had become an iconic figure like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the Pharisees could criticize Jesus, but they didn't dare criticize David. Now, in the story of David, he wasn't king yet. David and his companions were fleeing from King Saul, who was jealous of David, and he was seeking to kill him. David and his companions became hungry, so they asked a priest for bread. The priest protested that the only bread available was holy bread. But we might liken it to what the bread we took for our Lord's Supper today, our communion. The priest relented a bit, but then he said, okay, I'll give you a little bit of holy bread, and but you got to keep it, you know, to yourselves. You can't tell anybody like this. And assured that was the case, that he gave David the bread, and he gave it to his companions, and they ate it. Now keep in mind, this bread was for the priest only. Jesus concluded the telling of the story by saying the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Pharisees couldn't think of a response. They were speechless. So we have Jesus with one point, the Pharisees with no points here. It's an interesting take on the Sabbath, isn't it? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God intended the Sabbath as a blessing for people. God intended the Sabbath to give people a day of rest. Now, sometimes we need rest, don't we? A few years ago, Newsweek ran a cover which was only one word in large bold letters, says exhausted. The article told of stories of people everywhere from presidents of Harvard to single moms to a father trying to handle two jobs. All these people were exhausted. Everyone was exhausted. Can you identify with that, being exhausted? Is it any better today? Nah, I don't think so. While email has blessed us in many ways, it's also broken down the barrier between the workplace and home. For many people, it's almost like they never left work. I have a cell phone that the state has given me, and my supervisor wants me to carry it all the time. And because even though I don't work after 3:30 during the weekdays, and I don't work on the weekends, someone might have to get a hold of me. My cell phone stays on my desk at work. I said, I already carry a cell phone. I don't need to be at work 24 hours a day, because you don't pay me to be at work 24 hours a day. Everyone has my personal cell phone, so if they want to get a hold of me, they can. The problem is, with email particularly, you can get email. How many in here get email? Nobody? Okay. You can get email anytime, day or night. And because when someone decides to send it, it could be 3:00 in the morning, that email will come to you. Now, it may be important, or it may be a joke, you know, that someone's sending you. But to them, they're up. They're doing it. And, you know, in other days before email, you know, came, you know, like 8 or 9 o'clock, we kind of said, you know, that person's probably in bed. We'll leave them alone. We'll call them tomorrow, you know, or we'll send them a letter. Email has broken down that wall. Emails, for some people, demand immediate attention. I have a friend of mine, he'll send me an email, and then he'll send me a text right after that going, did you get my email? And if I don't respond right away, I get a phone call going, did you get my email and my text?
At 2 in the morning.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, I'll look at it. But emails demand our attention. They require a response. They identify problems maybe that have to be solved. And we're surrounded by labor-saving devices, but we're still exhausted. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God intended the Sabbath to bless us. The God who created us knows that we need rest and intended the Sabbath to address that need. God knows that we need time with our families, and he intended the Sabbath to meet that need. You can all remember back, you know I can, and you can, when you were younger, and we always had family dinners on Sunday at noon, and the whole family would get together, and it was a big ordeal, and we'd eat too much, and like that, and we would just make a day of it. We don't do that hardly anymore. We don't get together as a family unit anymore like that. While we're no longer required to observe Jewish law, we do well to set limits, to enforce restful time and family time. Doing that can reduce a number of heart attacks, And maybe a few divorces here and there. Because Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not the man made for the Sabbath. When Jesus went to the synagogue, he encountered the guy with the withered hand. His hand was all bunched up and curled up. And the Pharisees, who had been embarrassed in their first encounter with Jesus, was eager to just give it another go again. And they watched to see if Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath so they could accuse him again of violating the law. Jesus gave them another chance. First, he tells the man to stand up. And then he asks the Pharisees, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? Now, it was a well-established law for the Sabbath. People were permitted to help when life was in danger. They were permitted to help in emergencies. But that was only if the Pharisees and the religious elite considered it an emergency. They might change the rules as they went. As far as Pharisees was concerned, this man's withered hand was not an emergency. He had had this for a long time. He had been like this for years, so it could wait another day. Wait until the Sabbath was over. But Jesus felt differently about it. And presumably, the man with the withered hand felt differently about it too. When Jesus told the man to stretch out his hand, he did so. Now, I'm sure it wasn't easy for a man who's tried to hide his disability for years, but he did so, and he was in a public place. Everyone was watching him. All the eyes was on him. And the man, for once, he became the center of attention. This is something he had avoided for a long time. But he had heard about Jesus and was willing to take a risk here so that he might be healed. He had heard how Jesus had healed other people. And he stretched out his hand, and the Bible said, and his hand was restored as healthy as the other. And then it tells us that the Pharisees had been trumped twice. They huddled together with the Herodians to figure out a way to destroy Jesus in order to kill him. So what do these two stories mean for us today? Well, for one thing, these stories tell us that God created the Sabbath for us, to give us a day of rest, a family day. God knows we need rest, and our families need us to be present with them. So it's a pretty good takeaway from these stories here. For another thing, we need to pay attention when Jesus asks, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or do harm, to save a life or to kill? In God's economy, it's always lawful to do good, to help someone in need, to rescue someone in danger. It's always lawful to save a life, and it's always lawful to help. But there's a third takeaway too, that Jesus is Lord, and he'll bless those who trust him. As the man with the withered hand trusted him and he stretched out his hand, that doesn't mean that Jesus will always do what we want, but it does mean that Jesus is in command and he'll bless those who trust him. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of those who trust him, and he's Lord over those who don't trust him. The Pharisees didn't trust him, but he demonstrated his mastery, his lordship to them anyway. But the one who trusted was the one who received the blessing. So we need to trust him, and we need to allow him to bless us in return. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. So let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much. There's always times that we're hesitant to do something, and we have to go back to the old adage, what would Jesus do? Because if we stop and think about that, we realize that there's not much that he wouldn't do, especially when it was the right thing to do. And we just ask, Lord, that you help us keep that in mind, even on the Sabbath, our Sabbath, and that we continue to honor you and to praise you and to worship you. And we thank you for this, Lord, in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you all next week. Thank you.
Thank you for watching and listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Athens Universal Life Church is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. This production is an AULC Studios video production, copyright 2012 to 2023, all rights reserved.